Good evening, everyone. This is Tala with Drive Through Therapy. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight on another episode. And as always, I'm grateful for your support. And tonight, it is going to be an interesting episode because it is something that I think our society perceives that is working against us. And it works against us in a lot of areas, especially when I see it in the world of therapy and how to regulate emotions. And that is the concept of being a strong person. Now, this concept of being a strong person has been implanted in us in our Western world, whether it's through movies or through, cultural beliefs. A lot of us have even heard someone say, if you're not the one saying it, but either they're the rock of the family or I'm the rock of the family. I keep everything together. And usually a person that we perceive as strong or as is defined as strong in our world, in our Western world, is someone who does not demonstrate or show emotions in tough situations. We've also, with that concept, we've also implied that if you do show emotion, then you might be considered or labeled weak. So weakness is defined as the person that cries, perhaps, or a person that shows emotions. And really, in a lot of ways, it makes people uncomfortable to watch that person show emotion. A strong person, in the definition that we have in our Western world, is that they lack emotion or are unemotional. We tend to glorify that as healthy. But is it? Is it healthy? Why do we need emotions? Why? What do we do with them? And all this is going to be answered for you tonight. So this way you know what a truly strong person is and is not necessarily a person that lacks or doesn't demonstrate emotions, because in fact, we are born with them. To reject emotions that we have on the inside is to reject aspects of ourself that we're born with. And that's no good. You know, that's no good. In any form and from any angle, I don't rejecting aspects of ourselves that we are born with, like emotions. It's like, it's like rejecting our eye color. It just doesn't make sense. And obviously, it feels unhealthy. So now let's talk about one that is defined as strong in our world. It's usually a person, like I said, who appears to be unemotional. They also have no problem at all fighting a fight. They talk back. They stand up for themselves, even though the situation may not be a threat. They have a need to guard their heart, guard their vulnerability. They guard their ability to show emotion because they don't want to be judged for it. They become a rock of the family, meaning that they do for others, but they do not want anything. So that's a person that's going to be used, but eventually that rock is going to become exhausted because they have very limited boundaries and their need to please is not a sign of strength. It is in fact a sign of poor boundaries. So I want us to make sure that we don't glorify the idea of a strong person anymore, but that we redefine it today. We redefine it in a healthy way because the typically accepted definition of a strong person is not useful. It rejects the idea of emotions and it makes us believe that we have to not feel emotions in order for us to be strong. Emotions can't come in. We don't want to feel fear. We don't want to feel, or we shouldn't be feeling fear. We shouldn't be feeling anxiety. We shouldn't be feeling disappointment, insecurity. Any of these feelings shouldn't be felt if I am strong. And so when feelings, in fact, come in, insecurities, fears, anxieties come in, we start to become in conflict with them and repress them, reject them in an attempt to be strong. You see how this is kind of not useful for us at all in our society today. Strength has been defined as unemotional, even though we're born with it. So those two ideas are in conflict with one another. The idea or the fact that I am an emotional sentient being and the fact that I shouldn't be feeling emotions or showing them or demonstrating them as a sign of being strong. Now, that doesn't make sense. That's separating two ideas in our mind, and that's no bueno. So in order for us to resolve this, we got to integrate those two ideas of me being a sentient being. And what do I do with these emotions? What is their new place in my world? The idea of a strong person cannot exclude today for me my emotions. They can't. They cannot be excluded in this definition. So what we're trying to achieve here is not necessarily strength. It's not to conquer anyone or conquer anything, defeat anything. We're not fighting with anybody. We're not even fighting with our feelings. We're not trying to do none of that. That's why we don't want to be strong. We don't want to have the strong arm here when it comes to our emotional self. What we do want is resiliency. What we do want is the integration of our emotions and being able to be good with them, understand them, and integrate them into our world. Integrate them in a new definition of, instead of saying I'm a strong person or I want to be a strong person, I just want to practice increasing or strengthening my resiliency, my ability to bounce back when situations do get tough for me, or when I feel a feeling that I don't want to feel, that is negative for me to feel. So that takes us to understanding, what are feelings when we feel them? What are adverse situations? Because most of the time, ladies and gentlemen, we do not experience tragedies outside of us directly. We don't experience that. So on a daily basis, we don't experience, for example, a loss of a job all day long, every day, all day, right? But unfortunately, in our mind, we could have this fear, right, that lingers on all day, every day, about losing our job. So technically, we are in a state of poverty in our mind, that I'm never going to be able to keep my job unless I worry about it, for example. And so I reject the fact that I worry about it. So I pretend that I shouldn't be worrying about it, shouldn't worry about it. And then I still have it playing in the back of my mind. It doesn't resolve this fear I don't want to confront. So in an attempt to be a strong person, I completely reject the idea that I do feel fear. And instead of looking at it, instead of having a dialogue with it, shaking hands with that feeling, what I end up doing is rejecting it in me, repressing it in me. And so it still comes out, it's not resolved, and I don't ever mature from it. I just simply run away from it or react on it. So I either avoid the feeling, unfortunately, or I'm reacting on the feeling like it is truth. And that you know, takes us to another belief, unfortunately, that people have that's pretty consistent in our world, is that feelings symbolize the truth. So when I feel a feeling, and people say that, I feel that the person was trying to hurt me, but we don't really know for sure. But because I feel it, then it must be true. And then I might react on that feeling of offense, not check it, not look at it, not see where it comes from, because I have history in all those feelings. I have a history that came way before this moment I am reacting to. I have a history in that emotion, whatever emotion I'm reacting to it right now, I have a history in it. And so for us not to look at how it was trained in us, how it formed its response in us, it would be a disservice to us as human beings. And unfortunately, I could react on that feeling and that person could get whatever it is I'm about to give them. So we want to save people from that. We also want to save ourselves from that by really not rejecting our feelings, not distracting from them, but in fact, having a dialogue with them, understanding them with a strong level of compassion. They are supposed to be there. You are born with them as a human being. We are sentient beings. We need those. This is how we experience our world. Emotions is how we experience our world. Imagine kissing someone and not feeling the passion, the tenderness. It just feels like two pieces of meat connecting. So you see, when we have a kiss without the emotions, it doesn't feel as good. So we need these emotions to experience the world around us with this intensity, with this wonder. So when we reject our feelings, all of them, and or we start to nitpick, I'm allowed to feel these feelings, but these other feelings are not good. I shouldn't be feeling them. I start to become in conflict with them. Like sadness, for example. When we go and we receive medication from the person who prescribes us a medication for depression, for example, they sometimes do not educate us on what the role of medication is. And so unfortunately, the person who's receiving the medication thinks that there's something wrong with them because they feel sadness. There's something wrong with them because they feel anxiety. That is something defective in them that needs to be treated like diabetes. And it is not, friends. It is absolutely not. Because the mind, is a completely different idea. It's a completely different concept. It's the only organ that we're aware of that has two elements of it. We have the actual brain structure and we have the mind. And the mind is not something we put a finger on. We say, okay, we can test that. We know how much of the mind has this and how much it has that. We don't really know. We have to feel our way through it. It's a mixture of almost feeling, logic, intuition, and all these things playing a part in what we call the mind. We cannot measure the mind. So unfortunately, our attempt to make the mind measurable, we start to equate it to the brain structure and the chemistry it produces and the hormones it produces and the receptors and blah, 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 right? And so we now have pretended that the mind doesn't exist, but the brain structure, because it is measurable, that you are just a brain structure and that you're just a sack of chemicals. And then we need to treat those chemicals in order for us to live a healthier life, to get rid of those pestery thing called things called emotion. And we've gotten a really false idea of how to treat sadness and how to treat anxiety and or fear and these emotions that we don't like to feel, but we are born with. And that's a fact. We're born with them. So they're not supposed to be there. They are very much supposed to be there. Very much. But we have to understand them in order for us to regulate or discipline how we respond to them. They are not an indicator of the truth, but feelings are pretty darn important in letting us know where we're at in the moment. They are temporary, so reacting on them always is not an accurate formula that we want to play out or that we want to depend on. That formula will sometimes get us into trouble, because our emotions may be based on past conditioning and we're reacting in this current moment based on past conditioning. And the person in front of us does not deserve what we're about to respond to them in. And so we know it's not an accurate formula to feel feelings and then react on them. That formula doesn't always work. That's why we need to understand them better. It's not that they shouldn't be there, but they tell us, hey, right now I'm offended. Right now I'm afraid. And having a dialogue with our fear, understanding it, shaking hands with it, like I said, really getting to know the fear and accepting its presence within us, not rejecting it, not saying it shouldn't be there, but really diving in and saying, oh, that's fear. I'm feeling fear right now. I'm feeling fear. And let me explore this activation for fear. What's being triggered in me that's causing this feeling? Or whether it's sadness, fear, depression, anything that we might consider a negative feeling. We want to take a look at it deeper. So in understanding strength in a person, emotional strength, it's not that we remove emotions in order for a person to be strong in them, right? It's not that we don't react on emotions as a way to be strong or dependable. Now we want to make sure that we integrate this definition into our being by understanding and accepting that emotions are part of my human experience. I am born with a physical body that produces these hormones, but I also have this thing called a mind or consciousness that is not measurable, but I know it's there. I know it's there. You know it's there. It's not measurable. And so I am born with it, so it must not be something wrong or unnatural. It's very natural to feel feelings. the whole range of them, friends. All the feelings are natural to feel. So we want to get out of the rejection of the feeling when it comes in. We want to start to grow in it by simply sitting in the feeling and acknowledging its presence and working with it. And so fear doesn't become just about avoiding. But if it does become avoiding, then it becomes an anxious disorder, right? I'm avoiding driving outside because I don't want to confront the fear in my head, not in reality, but in my head about why I'm afraid to drive. I'm not looking at the narrative I have in my head that's motivating my fear of driving. And I'm just simply avoiding the whole thing. The same thing with sadness. I'm going to bed. I'm oversleeping. I'm drinking. I'm binge watching everything. I'm using sex as a way to make me feel better. I'm doing a whole lot of other things to make me feel better, really, because I'm so afraid to feel sad. On the other extreme, I just kind of feel sad and I'm helpless to it. And I lay in bed all day long and I just think that the feeling is the truth and there's nothing I could do about it. I just got to feel it. And I sit and I'm just avoiding the world and interacting with it and changing the narrative within me, taking a look at it deeply and honestly. And it looks like all this means that we are afraid to feel feelings. Somewhere along the line, friends, growing up, especially in very traditional parenting families, feelings are kind of trained in us to what is acceptable to show and what is not acceptable to show. A good example for me is a female. A female in our society may be judged severely if she displays anger. We have a name for her in the modern world, unfortunately. A woman cannot demonstrate anger. It's not acceptable at times in some cultures, even in a larger culture. We have names, like I said. So it conveys that a woman need to hide her anger, need to be responding to something else or transform her anger into something else rather than acknowledge its presence in her and really making herself look at it and what it means and what it's trying to tell her. Another common belief that is being demonstrated in parenting or the upbringing of children is when we teach a man to not show his emotions, right? We tell him that a strong man doesn't show his emotions. A weak person shows their emotion. But at that point, we're demonstrating to the child that they need to reject the presence of their emotion or push them down or repress them. That really, they're not useful to you. Emotions are not useful. And so if you're a man in society, it's considered a sign of strength in order for you to socially become acceptable, to adapt. It becomes a sign of strength for me to ignore my feelings or avoid them or repress them, not demonstrate them, not use them. And so the message that a man gets as he ages is that I don't really have any use for feelings, even though he's a sentient being and that he's born to feel a variety of feelings. And they are, in fact, not a hindrance, but a strength to feel them, a strength to be able to feel them, know them, and figure out what they're telling you. They're giving you a clue about yourself. Not necessarily about the environment, but about yourself and how you're responding to the environment. And those clues are really important in order for us to function. We don't want to ignore sadness, friends. We don't want to do quick patch-ups to feel better. Because unfortunately, I'm going to keep using those patch-ups to feel better constantly instead of facing my sadness. Because I'm so afraid to feel the sadness that I ignore it, I repress it, I distract from it. A really common thing people tell me is that, Tala, if I allow myself to feel sadness, I'm going to go all the way. And what they're really saying, and I can understand that, is that if I feel a feeling, it's really intense. Every time I try to feel my sadness, it becomes so intense. And that's okay. I need you to know that when the feeling comes in and it's really intense, it is because we have not learned to mature in it. We had this dialogue with it that it shouldn't be there. You need to leave. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to understand you. Get out of here. And so unfortunately, it comes back, and it comes back with the same intensity. So it keeps coming back. It's not getting diluted. It's still that big old lump of feeling I don't want to feel. For example, sadness, fear, disappointment, rejection is still right there, and I'm not dealing with it. And so to become a more resilient individual, we gotta look at that lump of feeling that keeps coming back, especially when it's intense, especially when it's intense. It's just telling us we have not matured in it. We have not gotten to know this feeling. And so let's say I'm afraid to feel sadness. And so the feeling comes in. This is how I'm going to deal with it, to grow, to mature in it. I'm simply going to shake hands with it. I'm going to say, hey, yeah, you're a lot to be there. I accept your presence within me. Even if you are intense, you are telling me something. You're telling me that I want more. You're telling me that I have language that I talk to myself that isn't that kind that I need to look at. Your presence in me is telling me something important, and I want to listen to it. I want to understand it better. It doesn't mean that it is the truth. It just means that I have a history in that feeling, and something is activating it for it to come out and for me to look at it. It's dying for my attention, and I keep ignoring it, at which point it's going to come back and it's going to feel intense because I reject it. I've been spending years rejecting that feeling. Of course, it's going to feel intense when it comes back. But when I talk to it over and over and over and over and over again, what I'm doing is I am desensitizing myself to the feeling. I'm becoming more, and maybe desensitizing is not the word, but it's close enough. It is becoming more, I'm habituating to the feeling and its presence in me. I'm becoming more proactive towards it, helpful towards it, rather than helpless, rather than avoidant of it. I'm becoming helpful to it. And as I sit in it, the next time it comes back, I can label and say, ooh, that's sadness right there. And yeah, I'm going to do some things, but let me take a look. Let me take a look where I lack the compassion internally, and why, and what do I need to do? What do I need to accept? And what do I need to work with to help me get to a better place internally? I don't need to necessarily use an external source to feel better, because I'm going to keep using that external source. And that's how addictions start, people. I could be addicted to love, a person, anything that makes me feel better and distract me from myself. But eventually, if they go, because anything outside of me is impermanent in nature, if it leaves, which it could, then I'm stuck with me, and I still have to face me. And if I haven't learned to mature in my feelings, and I've been running away from them, pretending to be strong, then I'm just going to fall apart. That's going to happen every time I lose this thing I've been relying on. So integrating the idea of strength in emotions is important here. Being able to feel your feelings, allow them to contribute to your psyche, to participate, right? They're not the only participant, but they participate along with intuition, logic, all the other facets of the human psyche to help us live a more integrated life, to help us get better at training us to sit with the uncomfortable feeling and growing in it, understanding it. So when I feel rejection again, I'm not falling apart. It's like, oh man, I remember when I felt rejection before, and I know what it is, and I know how to get myself out. And I train myself to go through it, not to skip it, not to take shortcuts, but to go through it, through the feeling, to get to the other side. And that's how we get better and better and better and more mature at handling feelings and bouncing back when times get tough, when we feel those feelings we don't want to feel. Because in reality, friends, we're not reacting to anything outside of us. It isn't the truth. We're, most of the time, I would say, because we live a comfortable life, most of the time we're reacting to things on the inside, fears on the inside, insecurities on the inside, anxieties on the inside, sadness on the inside. It is not, like I said before, experiencing loss of a job all day long, rejection all day long. it's on the inside. Something is happening to me and my narratives and the way I talk to myself and about my world that is causing me to feel those feelings that are distressing, that I perceive are negative. But I need to feel them in order for me to understand what they're doing, where they come from, becoming curious about them, asking about them, talking to them, like I said. And I can never repeat this enough, because people want to solve the problem with emotions by ignoring them, by resisting them, by fighting with them. I was fighting with my depression. I was fighting it. Like, we don't need to conquer nothing, friends. We need to integrate those emotions within us. Integrate them. That's how we become healthier. That's how we become mature emotionally. And we're able to recover from adversity rather than respond to them in a way that I cannot take back. And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm ruining my life because I just reacted on something that I really cannot take back. And that is, friends, not a sign of strength. That's a person who's repressive. So our definition of strength in the Western world is repressive. We want to make sure that whatever impression that we've gotten to assume that emotions are a bad thing to have to feel and doesn't imply strength, we need to change that altogether. Throw it out with the trash. We do not need that. The idea is that emotions are something I'm born with, and to feel them is not a deficiency. It's not something that's wrong with me. It's not a problem at all. It is part of my human experience that I need to seek to understand, decode, and integrate into my world. Integrate that. Integrate its presence in me. Not that I shouldn't feel rejected. No, I do feel rejected. But what does that really mean? What do I need to look at there? Because I'm not in any threat. I'm not being harmed. But I do have thoughts that harm me. And I'm doing that in a lot of ways to myself. Let me take a look at what is mine to own, and only what is mine. I hope this helps you guys to really understand what I'm trying to say about emotions and strength, and define what a strong person is. Because today we want to include emotions in there, not leave it out. I think we've gone too far with the idea of, I'm a strong person. A strong person does this. And I see these all the time. I see the outcome of that in therapy when I'm meeting people that perceive strength is not feeling emotions. So they're really disappointed when they get to feel emotions, and they're like, oh my God, I'm not a strong person. And that's not what that means. Just because you feel feelings, it doesn't mean that you're not a strong person. It just means that you are human and that you come with these feelings, and we just need to be able to integrate them, not conquer them, not fight with them, not ignore them. Integrate them. Integrate them, accept their presence within us, learn about them, become curious about them. We're the ones feeling them. So it makes sense for us to take a look at them and become more of an expert on ourselves when we're feeling them and what happens to us and what we're thinking. Yeah. The ultimate strong person archetype that we know, all of us in a society and multiple societies over, is the archetype of the hero. A hero that many of us find valuable to our generation is a hero that demonstrates the emotion that they have. They show us their human qualities. It is very uncommon that we find a hero that doesn't have human qualities. We want a hero that has human qualities. Even Wally, you know, Wally from Disney, Wally is a robot. But why we connect with Wally is because he demonstrates feelings. He feels love, he feels sadness, disappointment, rejection. But Wally also demonstrates the courage to feel all of those things. He is a robot, but he demonstrates courage to feel those things and still do the right thing for them and for others. And so being a hero is not the absence of emotions, because that would be too easy. There's no heroic factor in that when a person is not afraid of a dragon and faces it. Because it's like, oh, I'm not afraid of it. But if a hero is frightened of a dragon, but still gets to face that dragon, that's heroic. That's heroic. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to be that hero, but for ourselves. We want to face those inner dragons, even if we're afraid of them. Those dragons of feelings, whatever feeling that we have long been rejecting, not accepting, not tolerating, not understanding, and avoiding. Whatever those dragons are, those feelings are, those are the ones that we serve as heroes when we face for ourselves today. And I want everybody to be their own hero in their story. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. I hope this was helpful. And I hope this really defines things for you in a healthier way that can help you integrate your humanity a little better into your human life. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm sending you love and light. And remember, being a hero is not about slaying your inner dragons. It's about learning to ride them. This has been an episode of Drive Through.